Good morning, everyone. Certainly good to be back here again today. We have several unable to be out with us this morning, but we appreciate the presence of everybody that's here. We've got a couple visitors and a new visitor from the community this morning, so please, after service, everybody take a minute to say hello to him. Ron just read in John chapter 6 in verse 68, Simon Peter answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." When we look at John chapter 6, we see at the beginning of that chapter where he feeds 5,000. They want to take him and make him king. Jesus said that he is the bread of life. There is so much in this chapter, and then he's rejected. The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" And he said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. But whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day." And you see, Jesus, he rises and he falls with the crowds, his acceptance and rejection by the people. And you drop on down to verse 59, these things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?" They wanted to leave Jesus, and they were turning and going from him. Verse 66, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away also?" And here we have Peter giving his answer. "Lord, you have the words of eternal life." When we think of Jesus, Jesus is the only answer to our problems in life. Jesus is our answer for the forgiveness of our sins. John 1:29. "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." Jesus is the answer to help us resist temptation and sin. In Matthew chapter 4, when we see how Satan tempted him, we see how Christ responded to Satan to overcome temptation and sin. We see that Jesus is who we go to for authority in religion. Matthew 28:18-20, Jesus said, "All authority has been given unto me." Jesus is the only one that we can go to. When we get to the point in our life where we are going to face death, Jesus is the only one that we can go to help get us safely through that into the promised land. I've heard so many sermons on Jesus, you know, being the sum of our life. He's the only one that we can go to for the things that we need in life. We sing a song sometimes called, "Where Could I Go But to the Lord?" It's not in the book that we have, but the words to that song, "Living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford, striving alone to face temptation's sword, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to help me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Neighbors are kind. I love them, everyone. We get along in sweet accord. But when my soul needs manna from above, where could I go but to the Lord? Life here is grand, with friends I love so dear, comfort I get from God's own word. Yet when I face this chilling hand of death, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to help me in the end, where could I go but to the Lord?" So I want us to look at this question this morning. Where could I go but to the Lord? And instead of looking in the New Testament this morning, I want us to go back to the book of Psalms, in Psalm 27, and we are going to look at this psalm that David wrote. Where could I go but to the Lord? Let's start in chapter or Psalm 27 and look at the first three verses. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. Friends, when we need confidence, where should we go but to the Lord? The Lord will give us confidence. Look at this. The Lord is my light. That means that light leads man in the paths of salvation. He is my light and my salvation. Salvation, He delivers us. He rescues us. Whom shall I fear? No one, because we have our confidence in the Lord. When the wicked come against me to eat up my flesh, there are going to be people that want to do bodily harm to us. My enemies and foes, they stumbled. And though an army may encamp against me, you know, numbers mean nothing to God. Sometimes we might be afraid one-on-one with somebody. We see a group of people, we might be a little more afraid. Numbers mean nothing to God. God can give us confidence to overcome anything, anybody. The Lord will give the victory to a few, or He'll give the victory to one. We have confidence in that. When we think about this light, where we get guidance and direction, and we think of Psalm 119 and 105, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Again, it gives us confidence. We have never made it through this world before, and the only way that we can make it through this world is by following that light that God gives us. When we think of God as my salvation, and we think again the name Jesus, Jesus, Joshua, they both mean Savior. Savior, Jesus is going to save us from our sins. God is my strength. The Lord is the strength of my life. He's a fortress. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed. That's easier to read than it is to implement in our life sometimes. But God can give us confidence. He can give us confidence, and He's our strength and our refuge. Where else are we going to go? Where could I go but to the Lord for strength and refuge? Though the earth be removed and the mountains carried out into the sea, you hear people talk about, oh, my life is falling apart all around me. Well, you think about the mountains, the earth being removed and the mountains carried out into the sea, literally. God is the only place that can be a refuge to us. We have confidence, as we've been studying in Hebrews. Hebrews 13:6. We may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. And the psalmist David wrote in Psalm 23:4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Where could I go but to the Lord for that? Where could I go? People are looking for confidence. The majority of people want to follow somebody instead of be a leader. One of the reasons, because they lack self-esteem, or they lack confidence. They lack faith in themselves. And friends, the Lord can give us confidence. He can give us confidence to get through today. He can give us confidence to get through whatever comes along tomorrow. Even when things are dark all around us, the Lord can give us confidence. Well, let's read on, beginning at verse 4. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. This is a beautiful section right here. One thing I have desired of the Lord. This is David's heartfelt desire, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. When we look at this, one thing I have desired, what does that show? That's a priority. If you have a dozen things on a list to do, what's the number one priority? You have to prioritize. If you don't, you're probably going to do the easy ones, the ones that you can get by with, and the harder ones you're going to put off. But this is one thing, one priority, one thing I have desired. Paul mentions the same idea in Philippians 3:15. This one thing I do. Luke 10:41 and 42, where Jesus was talking to Mary and Martha, and he told Martha, one thing is needed. You need to focus on one thing. But David says, one thing I have desired. This is his priority. This is from his heart, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And why did he want to do that? To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. He wanted to see, behold the beauty of the Lord. So we need to ask ourselves, I need to ask myself, why did I come here this morning? Why did I come here? Did I come here out of habit? Out of tradition, out of duty, because somebody made me come? Or did I come to behold the beauty of the Lord? We see this heart that David had. Where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go to see the beauty and the glory of the Creator, the one that laid down his life for my sins? Where could I go? For in the time of trouble, he will hide me in his pavilion. What's a pavilion? There are some here in New Lebanon. You go to these parks, and there's a structure with a roof over it, a pavilion. What does that do? It protects us. We can go there, and it protects us from the sun beating down on us. If we go and it's raining, we can go under there, and it protects us from the wind. It's a pavilion. It's a shelter. It's a covering. It says, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. What's this secret place? Does that mean it's something that we can't find? And that the secret place of his tabernacle is referring to the intimacy of it. The Lord will take me into the secret place of his very tabernacle and provide a shelter for me. He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. You look at this communion that he has with God. This communion, this fellowship, this relationship. Where could I go? Anywhere or anybody to have communion like this. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. The Lord is going to make him triumphant. He's going to lift his heart up. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Because of what God has done for me, how he has protected me in his very own tabernacle. He set me on this rock, this sure foundation that I can rest on during the storms of life. I'm going to sacrifice to him. I'll sing praises to him. Notice this, the sequence in verse 4 of these things. First, we must dwell with the Lord and he with us. This one thing I've desired, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Second, then we behold his beauty and worship and praise. Then, and only then, are we ready to inquire of him when our hearts are open to hear his word. We have to have that communion with him. And he says, I want to go all the days of my life. When I read that, I think about a commitment. And it doesn't matter where you are, but I've seen this at every place. Christians, they want to be a Christian, but they don't want to be a committed Christian. They want that reward that's waiting for them, but they don't want the commitment that goes along with that. You see, people that they want to come to the house of the Lord when it's convenient. He says, I want to go all the days of my life. All the days of my life. Again, to behold the beauty of the Lord. Psalm 1, David says, on his law I will meditate. It's something we should keep on our minds day and night. Psalm 119, I love thy law, O God. And when he says that he will offer sacrifices of joy and shouts of joy, where does that come from? It comes from our heart. When we come to worship God, do we shout with joy, or do we just offer up whatever we can and we don't have any feeling in it? David shouted with joy because he was so thankful. We shouldn't be able to contain the joy for what God has done for us. In Revelation 19, we see the word hallelujah used often. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, the church, an observation in recent years, has become more institutionalized, more business-like, if that's a word that we can use. And you see, sometimes we're a lot more restrained on our feelings and emotions. And if someone says amen or says something, we might even look to see, well, what are they doing? You know, I think part of that has been overreacting to a number of years ago when things were very spirited in the denominations and the Praise the Lord movement. You turn on the TV and you'd see everybody waving their arms and lifting their hands and doing everything. But God wants us to be joyful. We were visiting out of town one time and visited a congregation, and it was a very spirited congregation in their singing and in their praying. And when we left, we were just, it was thinking, it's so obvious that what's missing? Why aren't we more joyful? Do we have that communion? Do we have that communion with the Lord that we want to shout with joy? When we come together, that should be the highlight of our week, and that we are privileged to be able to come together and sing praises to our Lord. It's a privilege. Not everybody can do that. It was joyful during the first century when they came together. Is there anything that has changed since then? So where could I go but to the Lord to have confidence? Where could I go but to the Lord to have this communion with Him? Where could I go but to the Lord to have communication, to have prayer, to ask for the things that I need in my life? Look, beginning at verse 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. And when my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path. Because of my enemies, do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries. For false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I have believed. We'll stop right there for a minute. This David's prayer and communication with God. David expressed his desire for the help of God. God wants us, because of that communion that we have, He wants us to communicate with Him. God is faithful. God is faithful. Do not leave me nor forsake, O God, of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Did David have problems with his mother and father? Not that we are aware of. I don't think the scriptures record anything like that. Maybe our parents, our earthly parents, might let us down. God will never let us down. Another way to look at this too, our earthly parents, they're just earthly. They're going to die. They're going to die. My mother died when I was about 30 years old. She's gone. My father died several years ago. He's gone. But the Lord, He's never going to forsake me. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Who's taking care of me now? God has. He has from day one. He's looked out for me. He's looked out for you. Where could I go but to the Lord? The Lord will never forsake us. Teach me your way, O Lord. Do we know what God wants us to do? No, we have to be taught. Do we listen to what some man says? No, we go to God's Word. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Make my way through this life smooth. Don't make it rough. And we know that the more we follow the Lord, we learn His ways, and we walk in His path, that will eliminate so much of the rough ground that we travel. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for a false witness have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. You know, if we are godly, we will face opposition. We will. Where could I go but to the Lord to find someone that will listen to me? 1 John 5:14. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. This is the confidence that we have. If we are walking in God's way, if we are in communion with Him, we can pray to Him in confidence, and He will hear us. Now, consider a couple things about this. You talk to some people and you ask them about their prayer life, and I'm too busy to pray. I don't have time. I'm too busy to pray through the day. I'm just too busy. Well, compare your schedule with God's schedule. Doesn't compare, does it? We have confidence. God is not too busy that He cannot listen to us. God will hear us. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to this His will, He hears us. And the answer He's going to give us is the answer that we need. It may not be the answer that we want, but He's going to take the time to listen to us. He's going to take time to hear us. He's going to take time to answer us. So we live with God day by day in His Word and in prayer every day, day in, day out. And we see that in the life of David. David was a man of prayer. Well, let's consider, we've looked at confidence, communion, communication. Let's think about contemplation, thinking, reflecting, David's contemplation with God. In verse 13, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You know, David had what we need. He had faith and trust and confidence, and he put his life in God's hands for safekeeping. Wait on the Lord. Wait. We don't run ahead, and we see throughout the Bible people that ran ahead of the Lord trying to carry out what they thought God wanted done. We don't run ahead. We don't fall back. We wait on Him. We wait on Him. God has a plan and a purpose in our life, and we need to wait on the Lord's plan. You know, sometimes we hear young people talk about this. Sometimes we hear old people talk about it. But you ask somebody, a young person, what are you going to do? Oh, I'm going to go to school. I'm going to get a degree on this. I'm going to go and work for one of these companies, and I'm going to move up the ladder. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. They've got their life all planned out. And it's good to make plans, but we shouldn't leave God out. And we should pray to God, God, what is the plan that You have for me? What is the plan that You have for me? And then we have to wait. We have to wait. You know, you think about Moses. When he was sitting on the mountaintop, figuratively, the mountaintop in Egypt, with his position, and then where was he? He was out in the wilderness taking care of sheep for 40 years. You think he had planned on that? I don't think he planned on that, when he could have had anything that he had in Egypt, and then he was out taking care of the sheep, stinky sheep, in the wilderness for 40 years for his father-in-law. But God had a plan for him, and God raised him up. Moses became the great lawgiver, the great deliverer, the great spokesman for God. God has a plan for every one of us, and we need to wait. Wait on the Lord. David did that. Acts 13:22 says that David was a man after God's own heart. Well, where could I go but to the Lord for direction and protection and salvation? That should give us confidence. Who will hide me and protect me from my enemies? On a sure foundation, in His pavilion, in His tabernacle. That should build our communion, our relationship with God. Who is the only one that can answer our heart's needs? That should build our communication with God. God is the only one that can give us the things that we need, and He wants us to ask Him for that. Who is the only one that can strengthen our heart? Our friends might cheer us up, but God is the only one that can strengthen our heart and heal our heart. And we should wait. We should wait on the Lord. Peter said, "To whom shall we go?" Christ is the only real answer. Friend, who is the only one that you can go to help you make it through this life and protect your soul? Do you go to Him every day? Does He occupy the topmost part of your mind and heart? Is He front and center? Have you committed to Him 100%? Or do you just give Him the crumbs and the leftover? Going to the Lord is a daily walk. It's a commitment. And it is something that we should want to do humbly and from our heart. We can't go halfway. He wants 100% of us. We're either in or we're out. We can't be in between. Friend, won't you come to the Lord? Won't you come to Him today? Don't you know that He is the only one that can supply everything that we need? Won't you obey Him? Won't you obey Him today? Why not right now? Why not right now as we stand and sing?